From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. A few weeks ago, Rachel Gallegos, an attorney at Community Legal Services, tried to file a court document through the city's online filing system.
The website was down, but I assumed that it was my own computer and it wasn't urgent, so I just thought to myself, I'll do this tomorrow.
But tomorrow came and went, and the site didn't come back up.
Then by the third day, we were like, oh, okay, this is... Something is happening.
This is not your average website. Thousands of people, from lawyers to their clients and anybody else involved in the legal system, rely on the online filing and docketing system to access critical court documents. And those lawyers realized a lot of bad things could happen, including people losing their homes. It's now been nearly a month since the city took down the systems, and there's no telling when they'll be back up. Why did they go down? How are the city's courts coping? And what are advocates doing to keep it from affecting their clients? Today on The Why, File Not Found.
Levels? Levels are good. Okay.
Wait, do you just want to, this is the court guy. I just want to see if he's going to say something real quick.
Go for it.
Hi, hey, how's it going?
Max Marin, a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn, has been covering the story. And as we were starting to record, Max got a call from a city spokesperson who immediately told him he could only talk on background.
Okay, so I just shouldn't expect any information on the record until this is somewhat cleared up. Okay, all right, well, I'll keep bugging you anyway. All right, thanks. Take care.
So, Max, what happened on the afternoon of May 21st?
Well, on May 21st, or sometime before it, somebody in the First Judicial District found out that a limited number of computers had been infected with a virus. We don't know what nature, what sort, but that immediately triggered a shutdown of the complete system. So all of the access to court records citywide for civil and criminal cases were just cut off as a precautionary measure.
That's what the city said, a precautionary measure? That's what they called
it? City called it a precautionary measure at first. And they said that, you know, they would provide more information as it became available. And that was almost a month ago at this point.
What exactly is this system used for?
This system is used for everything. If you want to go back in time when we all did this in paper, it's basically like we're stepping back 10 years in terms of how we have access to legal records in the city. And this is a very litigious city, Philadelphia. So we have the criminal system, we have a civil system where cases, hundreds and hundreds of cases are being filed and thousands being processed every month. And people can access those records. You and I can get on the computer and through the e-filing system access all of the records related to our cases, related to other people's cases, anything that's public.
So we're talking about criminal cases. We're talking about civil cases from housing cases, custody cases. All of those kinds of things would be affected.
Sure. Evictions, land property cases, anything, you know, a lien placed on a property. You know, the city files a court action against you because you didn't pay your water bill. Also, like real estate transactions.
So how quickly did this become clear to lawyers who rely on that system?
George Donnelly at the Public Interest Law Center, he represents Philadelphians like facing eviction and landlord-tenant disputes. He found out almost immediately.
A potential client called us about his eviction case, and I usually am able to, while on the phone, go onto the court system website and look up all the documents in a case.
And he went to pull the docket, and he couldn't.
And I thought something was wrong with my internet because the website wouldn't load.
If you're facing eviction in Philadelphia and you're calling up a public interest lawyer because you don't have the money to, you know, get a high-powered attorney to take your case, an attorney wants to know and figure out the bare details about your case.
And it's very difficult for advocates when they're talking to potential clients and tenants on the phone.
You know, they want to see what the motion is, you know, where it stands, what time you're going to appear in court. You can't do that.
Without the complaint and without the other court filings, the rental license, the certificate of rental suitability, we can't make a informed determination on what's going on with the case.
So he can't really help his client. And so he's going over to City Hall, where everything is being done in paper, and he's standing in line with all of the other attorneys and waiting to figure out just this very basic details.
When did it become clear to the city that this was you know, more of a serious problem than they originally may have thought.
It was about a week after it happened when people realized that this isn't going to be fixed anytime soon. And the main reason for them to believe that was the silence of the court system at this time. They've released very, very few details. In the statement a week after the initial shutdown, they said that they were not going to offer a definitive timetable on when the systems would be fixed. Their IT professionals were looking into it. They're working diligently to restore the services, etc. But that no timetable basically tells people that it's going to be a while.
So it went from, you know, we're taking a precautionary measure here and taking the system down, you know, for now, to we have no definitive timetable for when this is going to come back up.
That's right. And because this is a cybersecurity issue, they said that they're not going to comment any further, as that, you know, matter is continually evolving. They want to play this close to the chest, and they have been now about a month later.
So they haven't said anything at all since then?
No, they've given me nothing on the record. They're not giving over any information or anything that would, you know, not only maybe assuage some of the conspiracy theories and rumors that are going on around this, right? You know, Russians attacking City Hall or, you know, other unconfirmed things that people have said. They're not giving any indication of any of that. And I think that's kind of contributing to the fear and the kind of hesitation and concerns about what happens if this goes on for another month.
So how much has this electronic system improved filing for the courts since it went in?
Filing something on the internet can literally take seconds, and you can, you know, put something in a system and it's immediately updates. I mean, the system is, you know, for some of its flaws, it's pretty good with just having instantaneous updates. So basically, if you're up to the deadline to file a motion and you file it, you know, sometimes these deadlines are at midnight, you file at 11:59, the online system stamps it at 11:59, and you're good in the eyes of the courts. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get penalized for filing late.
So what are people doing? Lawyers, people who are involved in cases, are those cases able to move forward in any way?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of maybe one of the more interesting things to learn about this process of when you have a kind of large shutdown is that the courts are still going on. You know, everything can be done manually by hand. You know, a decade ago and before that, all of the courts ran by paper documents. You know, every law firm had couriers that, you know, bus stuff over to City Hall and dropped off big boxes full of petitions and motions and everything they needed to file. And they did it that way.
You know, as a young attorney, I've never had to file something in paper.
George and another young attorney I met at City Hall have only been practicing for about a decade, and they're actually learning how to file papers by hand for the first time.
And it really has kind of illustrated how much we take for granted and how much we rely on the electronic filing system.
So does this pose a risk to people who are facing kind of life-altering events in court?
Attorneys I've spoke with would say absolutely.
Homeowners are already working from a point of trauma and a point of crisis when they seek help from either our agency or a housing counseling agency.
Rachel Gallegos focuses on cases where people are at risk of losing their homes through foreclosure or delinquent taxes.
And then as the sheriff's sale approaches, if there's no resolution reached between a homeowner and a lender, that worry and that feeling of turmoil and fear just skyrockets as somebody realizes, oh my gosh, my house is going to be sold on Tuesday. The sheriff's going to come knocking at my door and kick me out.
When Rachel found out that the system was down, she immediately realized that houses could be proceeding to sheriff sale, where the city is auctioning them off to, return the money back to the lender.
And I was thinking, well, how do we know what's been filed and that it's going to make it to the court?
She realized that people could lose their houses unnecessarily if a paper, you know, for example, a postponement had not gone through. And she claims to have seen at least one case where she filed something by hand and it didn't actually make it to the, it didn't make it to the right parties. So, you know, based on that, she filed a petition with the courts to postpone the sheriff's sales for the month of June on the grounds that we should just wait. You know, it's no sweat off anyone's back if we just hold off on these sales until we have a functioning system and everybody can be guaranteed due process. The judge ultimately denied that petition and the sales are proceeding on as scheduled.
Why did the judge deny the petition?
He didn't offer an explanation. Gallegos told me that she has been assured by people in the sheriff's office and she's been assured by the lenders that we're not going to take anybody's houses unless due process has been guaranteed and everything is done by the books. She says that's not enough of an assurance for her.
The trust me, we've got it is not sufficient due process protection.
Mm. We know that this is some sort of a computer virus. It's some sort of malware. Do we have any sense of how this happened at this point?
We really don't know what it is at all. And that can seem really scary in an age where cyber attacks have really crippled other cities. Baltimore recently suffered a major cyber attack that actually cost the city reportedly $18 million.
Wow.
It was a hacker that had gotten into the mayor's communication system. And that was a ransomware attack, which is not, we are told, what is happening here. But again, we have limited information about what this actually is and how far-reaching it could be.
And there was a similar attack in Atlanta last year, right?
That's correct.
Why are these systems being compromised? Why is it city systems that we're seeing going down?
Cybersecurity experts that I've talked with have said that cities in particular are really vulnerable to these sorts of attacks because cities operate with essentially a conservative approach to these things when it comes to finances. They want to get the best bang for their buck, and compromising on, you know.
They get the low bidder a lot
right,
of the time.
So you want to get the lowest bid. And, you know, when it comes to your security and safety, sometimes you get what you pay for.
What's the long-term impact if the system isn't up and running for a while?
There will most likely be individual cases where some people were really hurt by this ongoing blackout. There are still lessons to be learned here about our reliance on technology in general.
I think that the lesson is that technology is amazing until it is not, and we are at the it's not point.
Many of our systems that we've set up, probably in this newsroom and elsewhere in every company in the city, if we kind of face the system shutdown, we would really have to resort back to creative methods and maybe calling people a lot older than me and you, Shai, to ask how they did things back in the day.
You've got to say to yourself, if our system goes down tomorrow, what is in place?
But with the sheer number of unanswered questions about what's happening, there's still a very ominous feeling about the entire situation.
Well, hopefully when we get some more answers about this and maybe when the city does start giving some more information, we'll have you back in for an update.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Max.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Kevin McCory. Reach out on Twitter @Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.